Today, I am super excited to be with the founder of the Doctors Unbound podcast. Oh my gosh, Dr. David Draginas. We're going to talk about today making money in the short-term rental market just after this intro.
Welcome back, Tribe. You are listening to Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box, where we invite doctors, dentists, and medical entrepreneurs who are breaking the mold, stepping outside the box as entrepreneurs, and practicing on their terms to share their journey, wisdom, and their inspiration with the world. I am your host, Dr. Maisha Claiborne. My calling is to help doctors find freedom, fulfillment, and full self-expression. I have helped dozens of medical professionals transform their mindset, leverage their skill set, and build profitable businesses and careers they love. Now, let's get to the good stuff. But before we do, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you never miss an opportunity for inspiration, motivation, and empowerment with me and our amazing guests. Now, let's take it to the next level, y'all. Here we go.
Hey, y'all, it's Dr. Maisha with Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box, and I'm super excited to be here with my guest, Dr. David Draginas. He is the founder of the Doctors Unbound podcast, and I'm super excited because, you know, ever since I started my podcast just, you know, like less than 6 months ago, I have been like a voracious listener of podcasts, and specifically, I've been like searching who are the other doctors out there that are making it happen with these podcasts. And Doctors Unbound is an amazing podcast that I've been listening to. And so I just had to reach out to Dr. David and say, hey, can we swap? Can we do a podcast swap? And he was just so gracious and allowing, you know, allowing us to be able to do that. So I'm excited to have you on. David, thank you for coming on. How are you? And I just really want to know like who you are for the listeners and have you tell your story.
Yeah, so thank you for reaching out. Actually, I love when physicians do that. I love collaborating with other physicians. I love it when more of us are out there spreading their message, you know, across digital media. Of course, podcasting is my preferred way at this point, and, mm-hmm. and I'm excited that you're doing it as well. So I'm always excited when physicians reach out and want to collaborate and cross promote and all that kind of stuff. I love to see it. I'm excited to have you on the show. You know, once we record this one as well.
Yeah.
My background is I'm an anesthesiologist. I still work full time. There was a while back and, you know, I saw that there's so many physicians out there that are doing some really cool, interesting things, utilizing media or starting businesses, doing other stuff outside medicine, politics, et cetera. And I was like, you know what? I want to tell their stories. I want to kind of uplift the physician community, you know, and, you know, meet these people and network with them and learn from them. And I felt that, you know, there would be an audience. Other physicians would probably want to do the same. And so that we could kind of learn from each other and, you know, and grow and all of us kind of, you know, kind of get better together. So that was kind of the impetus for Doctors Unbound. And here we are like 2 years later.
Wow.
You know, we put out an episode every week, and it continues to grow and get bigger, and so it's been really an awesome project for me. And you know, probably without that, you and I wouldn't be sitting here talking today.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk to you today. And you know, my wife and I do some things on the real estate side with short-term mm-hmm. rentals that we found over the last couple of years that work really well for us. Because I think a big part of physicians, really owning their wellness is their financial wellness.
Absolutely.
And if you can take command of that area of your life, and you know, if you're still in clinical medicine like I am, allow your clinical medicine to fund assets, build assets that now start earning income for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the way to go. So I'm excited to be here and talk to you about you know, how we do it within our family.
Yeah. Well, so there's a couple of things I want to say. Number one is, I don't know that you realize this, but in your, you know, podcasting, bringing Doctors Unbound to the media, you are an inspiration to others to get started. So, you know, like for myself, when I looked at starting a podcast, it was like, well, gosh, I mean, who wants to hear what I have to say? But then I look at, you know, what you're doing, and there's some other people out there that are doing some great podcasts, and it really is an inspiration. So thank you for leading the way. And then the other thing is, I think that it's our generation of doctors is really starting to wake up to support each other. And I think it's important for us to be networking, but also lifting each other up. So thank you for that as well. And, you know, you're so right. Like, we have to, as doctors, begin to think about our well-being more holistically, and that includes our financial wealth. And so, you know, I want to ask, like, how did you get into the real estate investing market, and what had you choose short-term rentals as opposed to what people kind of traditionally do, which is buy and hold and do the long-term rental thing?
Yeah, sure. So I think probably some of it kind of goes down deep to the way I was brought up, and my parents were immigrants to this country. You know, they were not, you know, the stock market, things like that were kind of foreign to them. So they didn't earn very much, but they were really good at saving and minimizing their expenses. And then they would go and they'd buy a little property that, you know, they would rent, and they would do a traditional kind of long-term buy and hold rent type of thing. So I had been exposed to that for a very long time, and it was a type of investment that I could understand. It was a type of investment where I believe if you understand a real estate market, and a real estate market can be extremely local, but if you're highly knowledgeable in your particular market, then you can, I think there's an ability for outsized returns, because the market isn't necessarily efficient if you're highly knowledgeable in that market, if you will. So I always kind of had an inclination towards real estate, and I just love to read, and I had just been reading about short-term rentals, about Airbnb. I was kind of fascinated with the idea of having outsized returns, because I was looking at, so initially I was looking at a long-term rental model, right? And if you follow a traditional long-term rental model, you know, a sort of a rule of thumb is, you know, 1%, the 1% rule, meaning that you buy a property and, you know, you should get a monthly rent equal to about 1% of the purchase price. So if you buy a property for $100,000, you should look at potentially having $1,000 in rental income. Well, that's not going to all be cash flow to you, right? You've got to pay your mortgage, you've got to pay insurance, you got to pay taxes, you got to have reserves for when things break down, because they right. will break down. Right. So in the end, if you do the math, you might have, you know, $100 to $200 per property that might be cash flow until you pay off that property.
Right.
And I was doing the math, and I was thinking to myself, how many of these properties do I need in order to have a reasonable income that could potentially, you know, be something that me and my family can live off? I got four kids. I got a big family.
Yeah.
I got a lot of mouths to feed, you know.
Right.
And so I was kind of doing the math, and I was like, you know, shoot, I'm probably going to need, you know, 20 properties or something. And that's a whole nother undertaking. You've got to get property manager in place. Mm. And as I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, I probably don't want to own that many properties. Mm-hmm. And so then I started learning about short-term rentals and the, you know, more work up front, more work to manage, but then you have the potential for outsized returns, and you might 5 or 10x the cash flow per property. So we started reading about it, you know, started learning everything I could about it, and we had already had a property that we had purchased, and so I came to my wife and I said, hey, what do you think if we short-term rent this property? And at first she was kind of like, what? having random strangers in my house all the time? And so my wife is extremely clean. Everything has to be proper. And so it was a little bit foreign to her at first. But, you know, we started talking about it. She's an excellent communicator. So I knew that she had, you know, the tools to really run this properly. Mm-hmm. And so 2018, we decided to give it a shot. We had already had the property. It was furnished. Mm-hmm. And we started with our first home. And, as much as you read and learn about something, once you do it, that's kind of when the real education starts, kind of like with podcasting too.
Right.
You can read about it all you want, but then when you're actually doing it, you're like, oh, I didn't think about this. Oh, I didn't think about that. So your learning accelerates. So we started doing it in 2018, and we saw that the cash flow was happening as we anticipated, as we projected. And about 9 months later, we purchased another high-end property. Wow. And that's where we're at now. We've got two really, really nice high-end homes, and, you know, the cash flow is, you know, probably, you know, at least 5x what it would, you know, typically be on a rental on a
typical.
And so we've been doing great with it.
Wow, that's amazing. So, you know, let's talk about, because we started this conversation when we talked a couple of days ago, the VRBO versus Airbnb, and like people, there's a difference, right? What's the difference?
So there's a difference, and I would say for us, we're on both platforms. Mm-hmm. So and it's fairly easy to do. You can sync your calendars, and you can be on both platforms, and it's not an issue. So we've been on both platforms almost from day one. I subscribe to some analytics website that kind of give you information for the Airbnbs or the short-term rentals. I think it's a little more appropriate because it incorporates all of it in our network. And I would say there's a lot of people who are not on VRBO HomeAway. They're just on Airbnb. And I think you're leaving money on the table, so to speak. I think there's a little bit of difference in the clientele, probably the people who tend to rent. My guess is that the people who are more comfortable with VRBO are people who traditionally rented in a vacation rental market. And so, you know, so wherever you're typically going on vacation, you'd probably use somebody like VRBO HomeAway, where I think Airbnb, it kind of has its roots in this kind of, hey, I'm going to rent a couch on somebody's living room, kind of more of a metropolitan in the city, kind of, you know, somebody's going to rent part of their house, although a lot of people now are doing the entire house rental. So they're kind of different that way. And according to some recent data that I've seen in recent articles, the sort of city, urban, metropolitan short-term rental market, at least in the U.S., has now exceeded, I believe, the vacation market. I think it just now started surpassing it. So people are becoming a lot more comfortable with the idea of short-term rentals. And when they go, you know, on vacation, or they go into an area, even if it's not a typical vacation area, they're looking for homes. Like, for example, you know, we've got four small kids. When we travel either to go see family or some other city, if we're traveling as a family, I am not looking at a hotel because I want a kitchen. I want to have rooms for each of my kids. I want to be able to put my baby down and take a nap, or put them off to sleep, and be able to still be up with the rest of the family and enjoy ourselves. And you just can't do that in a hotel room. So I think the markets are there. As far as from the host standpoint, there's no reason, I don't think, to not be on both of those platforms right now. Both of them, I'm trying to think about percentages. You know, for one of the homes, we typically are at about 1/3, 2/3 Airbnb, and then our other home is probably the other way around. You know, 2/3 one, 1/3 the other. So we're getting, you know, we're getting business from both places. I don't think there's a particular reason why you wouldn't be on both platforms when you're starting out.
Yeah, it's interesting because, as a person, when I travel, I like to have full control over how I eat, my diet. So I was in Sedona for vacation for Christmas, and I go straight to Airbnb, rented a little one-bedroom house with a kitchen and the couch, and it was like being in my home away from home. So I can totally get, like, that whole urban versus, like, the vacation rental, the hotel. I really can't stand being in hotels because that means I have to eat out all the time, and I always gain at least 5 pounds when I have to do that.
Yeah, and then your parking situation, if you're in a big hotel, using the elevators. It's for me, at least, like I said, unless I'm going to a conference, like some type of conference where there's some kind of benefit from being at the hotel. In the hotel where there's networking, you know, you're going to network with other people and you just want to be in that particular location, then, you know, I prefer, you know, a short-term rental home.
Yeah. So when we were talking about, like, the vacation market versus sort of the urban market, there's a distinction there. So like, Mike, the way I hear it, and you can tell me whether it's I'm close, is like when you're talking about the urban rental market, it can even go like more corporate, like people who are traveling for work and things like that, versus people who are strictly traveling for vacation. Is that on? Is that like, does that clientele? Yeah, is that the difference in the clientele?
It can be. And I would say there's a lot of sub niches. And I think there are people who find these sub niches within the short term rental market. Like you said, corporate is a big one. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done a little bit of that, not that much. You probably just need to find the relationships, probably talk to the realtors that place those. Mm-hmm. And that could be very lucrative if you, you know, get into contact with some realtors that place these corporate clients. Because, you know, if you're talking about a big company that's placing their people, they're not going to nickel and dime you on the rate per night. So you're probably going to stand to make a pretty nice profit on that type of a setup. There are traveling nurses, for example, you know, where they need to be in an area for 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. So some people hit that market. I've heard of some people even, you know, if they're within a big airport, hitting up like the flight attendants and pilot type of a market, and they'll rent like, you know, I have not ventured into this myself, but you know, people rent out like a bunk, for example, not even a room, just they have bunks because these people just need a place to crash maybe for, you know, a day or half a day or whatever. So there are so many different sub niches within the market that you could potentially, you know, provide a great service for. And for us, we're in a more of a suburban market here north of Dallas. Mm-hmm. And initially, I wouldn't have thought that there would be that much of a demand, but there is. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of families that are traveling for weddings and graduations. It's a lot of groups that come together for conferences or corporate events. Mm-hmm. We've even had families who have traveled from out of state for surgery for a family member or a child, and they need to stick around post surgery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they don't want to be in a hotel because they've got small kids. I mean, we've had some really great letters and feedback from guests who are like, thank you so much for providing this awesome house, because we did it in a hotel last time and it was just horrible. And, mm-hmm. you know, our family member couldn't recover properly. Mm-hmm. So there are all sorts of these interesting little sub niches where people, you know, need to rent for a couple months at a time. In our Dallas market, we just had a tornado not too long ago, so there were a lot of displaced families, you know, whose homes are getting fixed, and you know, mm-hmm. they need to be in place for 3 months or 5 months or whatever it is. Yeah.
Wow, this is really interesting, because I never thought about the fact that you could really like niche out or sub niche, you know, in this short-term market. And it's interesting because I've always been like sort of drawn to the short-term rental, you know, the idea of short-term rental. And mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, for me, real estate is like that gargantuan, like, And so for people who are, you know, just thinking about getting started, what would you say to them, like in terms of to empower them to like make that move?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we're all different. Like for me, I probably studied the market for about a year or so mm-hmm. Before, you know, we made the leap. But like we said, with podcasting, with short-term rentals, with anything, you know, do your due diligence, run your numbers, but at some point you've got to take action. Yeah. And once you take action, then kind of like the real learning begins. So what I would say is think about, you know, purchasing a property is going to be, you know, probably at least a couple $100,000 investment. It's a big investment. Mm-hmm. It can be very scary. So think about your backup plans. You know, the house that you're purchasing, could you rent it as a long-term rental and still at least break even, if not make just a little bit on your monthly cash flow? Mm-hmm. If you can do that, that's a pretty nice backup plan to know that, hey, if something happens and the short-term rental just doesn't work out, I can traditionally rent this place and not have money coming out of my pocket until I figure out next steps. Do I want to sell it? Do I want to wait a little bit for the home to appreciate? It buys you time. So you know, run your numbers, do your due diligence, have a backup plan, and then go for it. You know,
do you think like house versus condo? Have you considered like with that? And then the other thing is, I've also heard that people, rather than taking on the ownership, that people actually can do short-term rentals on rented on already purchased properties. Can you talk a little bit about that? Have you heard about that?
Sure. So I'll start a little bit about the size of the property. Mm-hmm. So we do large homes. So mm-hmm. we have 5 and 6 bedroom properties, and our high end home is you know, I'm biased, of course, but it's the highest end, nicest property within our little city. And I am preferring to stay in that market because there's a lot of change that's happening in the short-term rental industry. And you have venture capital and really big companies like Sonder and Lyric who are coming in and buying entire apartment buildings and then doing short-term rental. So I think if you're doing something like a condo or a one bedroom, you need to think about having some kind of unique competitive advantage to mm-hmm. compete against these really big companies that are going to be able to cut their costs. You don't want to compete with them on cost. So either you have a fantastic location, mm-hmm. Either you deliver some amazing service, mm-hmm. or something. I think you need to have some kind of competitive advantage if you're going to compete in that market. Mm-hmm. I like the kind of bigger home, luxury home market because mm-hmm. I'm not competing on price, and it's much more difficult for a big venture capital based company to come in and buy a bunch of luxury homes and try mm-hmm. to scale in that way. Mm. So I feel like it provides me a little bit of protection.
Yeah. And you can actually accommodate larger groups and larger families, mm-hmm. which I think is probably a little bit harder for people to find, like that the larger homes, you know, people with 3 or 4 kids or who want to mm-hmm. who have family reunions and they want to find bigger houses and things like that. As a matter of fact, in one of my trainings that I'm thinking about doing, my NLP coach training, I was thinking about renting an Airbnb in the city, mm-hmm. a larger one, and having all the participants come and actually stay in the Airbnb, all of us together, so that they don't have to worry about hotel. They just pay the price of the actual training, which includes the stay. So I get what you're saying. It's like maybe doing something that's a little bit larger gives you that competitive advantage and versatility in how, you know, the kind of guests that you can bring in.
So yes, and we have had people book our nice large home for something very similar to that.
Super cool. Yeah. So what about the sidestepping the having to purchase a home through utilizing rental arbitrage. Yes, what's that called?
Rental arbitrage.
Ah.
So rental arbitrage is kind of the hot thing if mm-hmm. you search the internet, and I think one of the reasons is because it kind of lowers the barrier. People, you don't have to purchase a property, mm-hmm. and people feel like they can scale a lot quicker. So the idea is that you go to a landlord, whether it's a home or a lot of times these people are doing it in an apartment complex, mm-hmm. and they're saying, hey, you know, I will give you, you know, rent. Let's say rent is $1,000 a month. I'm going to give you a premium. I'll give you $1,200 a month for the rent. I'll sign a lease for a year or two or whatever it is, mm-hmm. because they know that they can do short-term rentals and make a spread from their rent, all of their expenses, and then maybe they'll keep $500 to $1,000 a month per property. So the idea is that you don't need to own a property. You can arbitrage that rental difference and keep the difference for your troubles. And then that allows people to not have to come up with a 20% down payment for an investment property. They're getting all that cash flow, and all their expenses are really furnishing the apartment or condo or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and perhaps a few other little charges related to running your Airbnb business. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people that do that are using that to scale. We have not gone into that model. My thought process is that I'm not trying to create, a short-term rental management company that just cash flows and I've got 100 or 1,000 listings. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for the other benefits of real estate ownership. So when you do something like that, right, you're not going to get the deductions, you're not going to get mm-hmm. the appreciation. Hopefully there are a lot of other benefits to owning real estate that you're not mm-hmm. going to get with that model. Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested in being, a real estate owner and using using the short-term rental to kind of turbocharge my cash flow and allow me to either scale that way or pay down my properties and so that I can, you know, owe them free and clear a lot quicker than with a traditional rental.
Yeah. So it's building, it's like the principle of building wealth versus just creating cash flow.
Yeah.
Right. It's the principle of doing that. And even though like the rental arbitrage can be like an easy way in to build up cash flow, to be able to then purchase, you know, put a down payment on a property, right, it's not a long-term strategy that will build wealth.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I was just consulting with somebody within the last week who had a lot of questions, and this gentleman was thinking about getting into the Airbnb game, and he asked me about rental arbitrage, and I would say that it can be, like, if you're somebody who's short on cash right now, it can be a way for you to generate some cash to then go fund your own purchases. So I think some people can do it that way as well. It's like, hey, I don't have a lot of cash, but I can kind of get this, you know, get a couple rentals going, get some cash flow, then use that cash flow to, you know, to have some money to buy my own units that are kind of building your long-term wealth. So I think it can be utilized that way. Some people swear by the arbitrage method. Ultimately, to me, it's like another business, you know, to have and run and you know, as a busy physician, that's not what I'm looking
for. Yeah. This is a really, really interesting conversation. So here's what I'm taking away, and listeners, this is what I encourage you to listen for is, number one, this is a strategy. This is a strategy, and like, you gotta like be present to, you know, what your intention is when you're coming into something like this. And like I said earlier, I didn't know there were niches. And so, you know, you can actually create niches inside of the short-term rental market. Rental arbitrage is like a short-term strategy for a long-term building wealth. And when you think about this type of investment, it's a cash flow strategy, but it's also a wealth building strategy. And so it's just so interesting. So you said that you were consulting, and it's been on my mind the whole conversation. Speaking of consulting, you think that you'll ever create like a course or some type of, you know, little business or side gig around helping people start their own short-term rental interns or short-term rental?
Yeah, you know, I've thought about it for probably, you know, a good 6 to 9 months now, and I am getting some feedback that that's what people want. I think if I get enough feedback that people say, hey, they want this, I don't want to create something and spend a lot of time doing it and then, you know, see that people don't want it. So, you know, if somebody's listening out there, if that's something that you would be interested in, you know, reach out to me and let me know if I get enough feedback that this is something that people want, then yeah, I think creating a course, you know, would be a good way to go. Wouldn't be very difficult to do.
Yeah. Well, so you guys, we're going to have all of David's information in the show notes. So, hey, let's give feedback. If we want this course, let's let him know so that like, is another little side stream of passive revenue that you could create the course, have that start funneling in. And, you know, I got my business mind on. I got my business mind and my coach mind on. So I'm like, man, this is some good information. He needs to create a course about this.
Yep.
So is there anything else, you know, that we haven't talked about that you want to leave our listeners with in terms of this whole short-term rental investment strategy?
Yeah, I would say, you know, if there's something that you're increasingly interested in, that you're getting serious about, think about the area where you want to do this. And the first thing we do is to look at the regulations. You know, are there any regulations in that city, you know, that relate to short-term rental? Because you want to be on the up and up. And probably the safest thing to do is if there's already short-term regulations in place allowing it. Some places, you know, don't say yay or nay. There's a little bit more risk in that, you know, it could change to be disallowed, which is why I say have your long-term rental due diligence in place in case you need to kind of change strategies. But, you know, research the area, research the city, and then, you know, decide what kind of property that you want to do. Do you want to do a smaller property? Do you want to do a larger property? Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing larger ones, and I've shared some of the reasons why. And then just kind of drill down. There's a company that I'm not an affiliate for. I wish they had an affiliate because I mentioned them so much. But AirDNA.co is a company that has a lot of analytics and data. So you can basically type in any city, I believe in the whole, pretty much anywhere in the world now, but certainly in the U.S. And it'll give you a lot of data related to the short-term rental market in that area. So you could see, you know, what the numbers look like and all that kind of stuff. It's a subscription, but what you could do is, you know, for that particular city, you could pay for the first month and then you could cancel it after first month. So you might be out anywhere between like $30 and $100, depending on how big the city is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, arm yourself with data before you jump in. That's something that I did. I looked at that data before, you know, we kind of went with that strategy in my area. And when I looked up my city, I was like, oh my gosh, there's actually something here.
Yeah.
So those are the things, you know, do your research, drill down, figure it out, and then, you know, the backup plans, and then go for it.
Awesome. This is such a great resource. Thanks for sharing that. I'll put that in the show notes, airdna.co. And, you know, David, just thank you so much for coming on and being a wealth of information in the short-term rental market. We haven't had anyone come on to really talk about this to this extent. And it's also been a personal interest of mine. So, you know, I may be tapping you on the shoulder when it's time, like, hey, can I get a little, you know, can I consult with you?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate you. And I know the audience will appreciate as well. So, you know, how can people get in touch with you?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, the place where I'm mostly visible online now is the Doctors Unbound podcast. So if you go to doctorsunbound.com, you know, I've got a contact page there. If you go on really on any kind of social media, whether it's, you know, Twitter or Insta or whatever, just look at Doctors Unbound. Mm-hmm. You should be able to find me. Doctorsunbound@gmail.com is my email. Might take me a few days to get back to you. I get increasingly busy these days, and there's a lot of pitches and you know, a lot of emails coming through.
Yeah.
But I do my best to respond to everybody, especially if it's somebody who's listened to a podcast or something like that. I do my best to get in touch with everybody. And thank you for having me on the show. I really enjoyed this conversation. Inspired by you and what you're doing in the podcasting world. So thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. And y'all go check him out. Check out his podcast, Doctors Unbound. It is an amazing and informational podcast. Listen to people's stories. Soon I'll get to be on there. Yay!
Yes.
All right, y'all. So all of the information will be on the show notes. Check him out, Doctors Unbound, Dr. David Draginas. And, of course, y'all know where to find me if you need me, drmaisha.com. But really, go check out Dr. David Draginas and the Doctors Unbound podcast. Y'all have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week. Thank you for listening as always, and we will see you on the next podcast. Namaste, y'all.
Thanks for spending time with us on this episode of Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box. We hope you enjoyed this one as much as the rest. Remember to go ahead and hit the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is released. It is you as our listener who help our podcast to grow. So if you like this podcast, if you enjoy what you're hearing, if you are inspired, we'd really appreciate it if you'd write a quick review and share it with 5 of your friends. We want to continue to expand our reach and bring this transformation to all of those doctors and medical professionals out there who are still seeking more autonomy, more freedom, more expression, and purpose in their careers and lives. Finally, if you want to learn more about how I can help you as a doctor or medical professional transform your mindset, leverage your skill set, and create a profitable business and career you love by your design, please check out my website, www.drmaisha.com. That's drmaisha.com. on my website, you can access one of my 3 free masterclasses to get you started on your journey to the next level. Have a wonderful rest of the day and an amazing rest of the week, y'all. And keep your head up, looking to the next level. Namaste.